Psalms 106. Thank you, Brother Jones, for that preaching. I've been in the race for a while, about 51 years, and the average church would not permit or allow Jesus to be their pastor. They wouldn't put up with him. He was too straight, too strong, too long, too loud. Had a dress code, carried a whip, cleansed the temple, turned the tables over, tore the mic system, sound system up. Must have been a wild man, wasn't he? The meeting's been tremendous. Preaching's been great up till now. I believe the Lord told you to sing that song, sister. You look with me, please. Thank you for the good room. Thank you for the meals. Thank you for being so kind. And every time I get over here, I just tell you how much I appreciate you, so you probably don't appreciate it anymore. But I do. I thank God for Ridgeview Baptist Church. The day that the Lord allowed my path to cross with your pastor, Brother Sexton, he's a dear friend and I love him. Amen. And I'm not trying to feather my nest either. I like it around here. I like the singing, like the fellowship, like the preaching, like the worship. Hadn't seen much that I don't like. Amen. I like the preaching this week so far, haven't you?
Amen.
I love it. Preach to me. Help me. Help me. Rescued my family 51 years ago. I wouldn't have a home. My wife wouldn't be here tonight with me. My children wouldn't be living for the Lord if we hadn't had some old leather lung preachers that rear back and skin your hide. And I've never gotten mad at a preacher preaching the truth to me. Amen. I've got upset with some things I've heard, like Brother Jones said, that's not in the Bible. That disturbs me sometime, but fella, I had a little Pekingese dog about that big, and she lived in the house with me. About the best friend I ever had other than Jesus. And some of my best friends are dogs, amen. But she loved me, I mean. And my wife said, "Why don't you treat me like you treat that dog?" I said, "Well, you start meeting me at the door and clawing the door and wanting to see me and run and grab and jump in my lap when I get home, I'm liable to start treating you like my little Pekingese dog, amen." That little tail will be giving a thing about it. Well, I'm in Psalms 106, if the Lord will help me tonight, and I know it's 25 till 9 is what I have, whatever that means, amen. I've tried to, and the Lord dealt with me about a week ago, 5, 6, 7 days ago, about this message. I guess I was in maybe Mississippi. I had no idea that the meeting would go the way it's gone, the preaching the way it's been. But you follow along with me. I promise you I'll hurry as much as God will allow me to. But I have several verses of Scripture I want to give you. In Psalms 106, we might just read the whole chapter. I've got 3 points, and I'll be through. But verse number 1, Psalms 106, says, "Praise ye the Lord." And he closed the psalm with "Praise ye the Lord." But it said, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto the people, unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt, they remember not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea." I'm going to preach on the sins of the sea sometime. "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths. And you young people, don't let anybody tell you that the sea wasn't deep. The Bible said it was the depths. Amen. And so I'm like the preacher, God, let God be true, never man a liar. But he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. You young people ought to listen. The devil hates you and he's your enemy and he wants to destroy you. And God will give you a deliverer. He has sent a deliverer just like he did Moses. Amen. But in verse number 11, I guess, and the waters covered their enemies, there was not one of them left. Somebody said there wasn't anything floating when the water went back together. Wasn't anything floating but wigs and cigars. Verse number 12, that's a joke. Amen. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. They soon forgot his works, they waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forget God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous things in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Thank God for a praying pastor. Amen. And Moses wasn't necessarily a pastor, but there was a church in the wilderness, nevertheless, not the New Testament church, of course. But verse 24, yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. That's where sin will take you. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. I guess that's what everybody's been preaching about. And the plague broke in upon them. Then set up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. I probably won't get to Brother Phinehas in verse number 30. But that's when there was so much wickedness going on. He took a javelin and stabbed it through the man and the woman, killed both of them. And God said in verse 31, it was counted unto him for righteousness unto all the generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of Strife. I'm not telling you to go out and murder your wife tonight. You'll end up in jail. Amen. So that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. He gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated him ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel. I'm interested in that counsel. And were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you ask God to help me? Father, Lord, I love you tonight. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. And I plead that blood for liberty and unction and power tonight to handle the Word of God. Thank you for dealing with my heart about the message. And Lord, we've tried to study to show ourselves approved unto God, that we wouldn't be ashamed when we stand to handle the Word of God before your people. So I pray you'd call to my remembrance what I've tried to hide there. And Lord, it'd be a help and a blessing to your church tonight. Thank you for what we've heard in the meeting, Lord. Tremendous preaching. And I pray tonight every one of us would purpose to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. Lord, may a new, fresh love be kindled in our heart for the church of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, as a preacher or someone read this week, that you might in these troubled times revive us again. Do it for Jesus and we'll praise your holy name. We love you. We ask you to help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your Bible open. I may get you to turn. I usually try to commit to memory most of my references. I can't always do that. But in my study, and God, it's been a long time since I've been in this portion of the Word of God. But I want you to look at my text verse, and I'll try to eliminate a lot of introduction and some filler and get right down to the nitty-gritty of the message. Verse number 13, they soon forget His works. They waited not for His counsel. And the word counsel is referred to there again that I read to you in verse number 43, and I hadn't even marked that one yet, but I'll mark it presently. And the Bible said they waited not for His counsel. I want to preach for just a little while tonight, the Lord being on my being my helper and being on my side as we preach the Word of God. I want to preach for a little while on waiting is not wasting. Waiting is not wasting. You can go through the Bible and run the references. We don't have time to do that. But you'll find out scripture after scripture where God instructs us and God commands us that we need to wait. I can give you a few. The Bible said in Isaiah 40:30 that talking about even the youth shall faint and the young men shall be weary, and but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I look that word wait. I've heard that scripture preached many times over the years that I've been saved. But I look that word wait up there, and it means to patiently endure. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. And they'll walk and not faint. So how important is waiting in Isaiah 40:30? Even the youth shall faint. The young men get weary. But if they'll learn to wait on the Lord, and I've heard preachers use that, and one rebuked me down in Florida, down close to Florida, and that was fine. He just running his mouth, you know, the way some folks do. But I had to take a baby aspirin when I got home, and I didn't take but half a bit because it worried me so much. But waiting on the Lord is just not like a waiter at the restaurant. We need to learn some patience. Amen. And I think the Apostle Paul, and I got corrected on that here a few weeks ago as well. But in the book of Hebrews, I think Paul wrote it. Peter said Paul wrote a letter to the Hebrews, wherever it's at. If it's not the book of Hebrews, I don't know where it's at. But nevertheless, he said in Hebrews chapter number 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. You can look that word up. Waiting, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. That's the same word they say in the Hebrew, that patience there or waiting there. In Hebrews, the same text I was quoting to you, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I could go on, but I don't have time. Jesus came into this world and endured and patient. You remember, they said, are you going up to the feast? And He said, my hour's not yet come. I think He said that about seven times in the Gospel of John. But nevertheless, He said, it's not time for me to go up to Jerusalem. And so His brothers went up, and He went on up later. But Jesus was always on time. He was never a moment early, and He was never a moment late. Amen. And Paul said, you have a watch. And I wrote in my Bible beside of that, you have a watch. And so I said, be on time. And I preach that, and people get mad at you. Amen. But He was never early. He was never late. He waited when He needed to wait. He responded when He needed to respond. And God's been so good to the nation of Israel, delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, worked all of these miracles in their life, and I'm not going to get back into that. But look at my text again in verse number 13. They soon forget His work. Some of us here tonight, you may have forgotten what God has done for you. I don't think I will ever forget getting saved. But Peter said that they had forgotten that they were purged from their old sin. I wouldn't believe that if it hadn't been in Holy Writ. Amen. I don't see how you could ever forget being born again, saved by the grace of God. Night turned to day, death turned to life, blindness turned to sight. I don't see how you could ever forget that, but Peter said you could, and so I believe you can. Amen. And the Bible said in verse number 13 that they did it soon. They soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel. In my study of the Word of God in the last 51 years, I have found a lot of mistakes that Israel made, and we've heard about it. We heard this week about Him delivering them out of Egypt and the Passover lamb, the blood, the Red Sea. We've heard about Brother Jones and several other preachers have preached about these encounters that they had in the wilderness of sin. And we've heard about those, and they made a lot of mistakes. But I believe with all of my heart, you can take those mistakes that the nation of Israel made, the children of God that had been redeemed, Hebrews, Brother Jones, I'm trying to get to remember who said what, but we, Hebrews was written to the saints, amen, written to the Hebrew Christian, applicable to us that are here tonight. But I think Israel made three major mistakes, and all three of them was due to the fact in verse number 13, they waited not for His counsel. And there's people listening to me tonight, and you did not wait for counsel, and you have made some blunders, and you have made some mistakes, and you'll probably have to reap that sowing the rest of your life. I was in a church not long ago, and the daddy, the pastor, said, son, do not marry that girl. And that boy was like Samson. I want her. You know the story, don't you? I don't have time to run very many rabbits tonight. But his daddy said, son, don't marry that girl. And she is wild as a March hare and didn't dress right. And this boy had been raised in church and supposedly saved and lived for the Lord. And he married her, and things got in a mess just like they always do.
You can't mix gasoline and water, amen, oil and water. And what fellowship had light with darkness and Belial with Christ and all of that. There's about six or seven of those down through Corinthians there that Paul wrote about. And that means a complete separation from those things for us from the world. Amen. And so they made a blunder, and there's a lot of, I could use a lot of examples in the Bible. I think Barnabas made a mistake, and John Mark made a mistake, and several in the New Testament made errors that they should have waited a little while and got some direction from God. That's the gist of my message tonight. Verse 13, they waited not for His counsel. Let me give you three things and I'll get out of the way. They waited not, firstly tonight, for some direction and leadership in their conflicts. They needed counsel in their conflict. And if you read your Bible, and I know you do, thank God for you. I'm glad we still have a Bible, aren't you? And that doesn't bother me one bit, the sign I guess the preacher put on the pulpit here. I'm a King James man, and I'd narrow it more down by that. I'm a Cambridge man, amen. And I'm not going to argue with you about that. You've got a right to be wrong if you want to. But nevertheless, that's the oldest translation of the King James Bible, and so the Bible said the old is better, and that's why I'm a Cambridge man. But they waited not concerning their conflict. Would you stick a tithing envelope in the 106th Psalm and turn back very briefly to the book of Joshua? My granny used to call him Joshua, amen. We call him Joshua. She is an old Free Will Baptist with her hair bobbed up, rolled up on the back of her head in a ball, and her dress long and her sleeves long and all of that. That didn't make her holy, but it made her a Free Will Baptist. Amen. But I liked it anyway. I saw something different about her. But give you this scripture, but you're well familiar with it. But I want you to see something. We're familiar with Joshua chapter number 6. They come up out of Egyptian bondage, and they cross the Jordan River, and they come up, and here's this massive city by the name of Jericho, and it's a fortress, got a tremendous wall. We hear about the wall of Jericho, and I've read different measurements about it, and it really doesn't matter how big or how tall or how wide or whatever. It was just an thing around that city they couldn't penetrate, and so they had a praying man of God that had been at the feet of Moses serving before he became the leader, amen. And he'd been out there, and if you had time to study chapter number 5 and chapter number 6, I read it again back at the room, and you can read it when you get time, but Joshua's out praying, and Joshua's walking around trying to find the mind of the Lord, and a man with a pulled sword appeared unto him. That's Jesus in the Old Testament, a pre-incarnate Christ. And the Bible said, if I could find my verse, I didn't make it, mark it, but Joshua went to him. And he said, are you for us or are you against it? And really, paraphrasing, he said, I'm not for you or I'm not against you. I'm here to take over and give you some instructions from heaven. Amen. I want to give you some counsel. And that's my thought. I want to give you some counsel, Joshua. And Isaiah chapter 9 said, you'll call his name Wonderful Counselor. And so it'd be wise if we'd get some counsel from God. Amen. And so Joshua hears some counsel from the Lord Jesus Christ with the drawn sword. He said, take your shoe from off your foot. I believe old Joshua had fought and kicked the devil so long that he didn't have. He may have had one wooden leg. And whether he did or not, he may have been a Baptist pastor and didn't have a one shoe. Amen. But he said, take the shoe from off of thy foot. The ground you're on is holy ground. And anytime you get around where Jesus is, and neighbor, you stop long enough, Brother Bud, the way we were talking for service, and you get alone with God and He shows up, you are on holy ground. Amen. And so Joshua listens to him, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, Joshua, you get everybody lined up, the priests, and the seven ram's horns and the priests and the people and the rear part of it and the forward part of it, right down to the minute detail, and you march around that city, keep your mouth shut, just toot on those horns every now and then, and march around there one time for 6 days, and on that 7 day, go around 7 times. Now, when I was in school, 6 times for one time for 6 days, and 7 times on the 6th day, that 7 day, that made 13. Now, if you read after Mr. Butler, he said they did that 14, and I've been looking ever since I read that, and I ain't found that 14th trip yet. And I'm sure he's a much wiser man than I am. Maybe it's a typographical error in my commentary, amen, but I read that after him a long, long time ago. But nevertheless, God gave him specific details on how to conquer Jericho. And say they marched around one time a day for 6 days, and on that 7th day, they went that 7th time around there, and God said, shout and toot on those horns, and the wall fell down. Are you listening? They had counsel from God in their conflict, and God gave them the victory. My son graduated, got his master's at Bob Jones University. Don't throw a book at me, amen. He went there shouting, come out of shouting. He went there believing the King James Bible, come out believing the King James Bible, because he had his dad, had a daddy, said, I'll beat the devil out of you if you don't change you, amen. But nevertheless, he come out of there and still got the victory in his life. And he got some learning and got some education, which I wish I had a lot more of. But 7 and 6 in that 13th time, and the wall fell down flat. Well, my son came and said, Dad, they were talking to me about they think they have discovered the ancient city of Jericho. And they think they're uncovering the wall. And I hadn't heard about that in several years. I don't know who was right or what all they were doing. But I said, I'll tell you one thing, son. If they find that wall, it'll be laying flat. Now, some preachers think it's sunk in the ground. Amen. I don't believe that. I believe it fell down flat just like God said it did. And the old Negro spiritual said, and the wall came tumbling down. The wall didn't come tumbling down. It just laid down because God said it wouldn't. Are you listening to the preacher? We ought to get back to believing the Bible and just preach what God said and let the chips fall where they were. Here's my point. God gave him counsel, Brother Harvey, on the very way to conquer that city. And neighbor, the next time, Ai, up in chapter number 7, they got the counsel from the men. If I could find it, I didn't mark all the scripture, which I should have. But anyway, you get up in chapter number 7 in the book of Joshua, and the Bible said that the men came to Joshua and said, there's another city over here called Ai. And he said, it's just a little city. Well, all of us don't have to man up and put on our armor and get on our marching shoes and everybody go out there to take that little city. It's just a little one. And so they sent 3,000 soldiers up there and got the daylights beat out of them. And 30-some men got killed. 30-some women, if they just had one wife, they're weeping and crying, and all the children and the nation of Israel goes into convulsions and wonder what's going on. I tell you what went on in their life. You study the conquering of Ai, and the first time and they tried and attempted to do that, they got no counsel from God. It was man's reasoning. Are you listening to me? The Bible said our reasoning, His reasons and His ways are as high above my ways as the heaven is above the earth. I'm glad God gave us some gray matter. I'm glad we got a mind. Amen. Thank God that we can think and we can reason out. But the Bible said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it may have been the first scripture that my pastor ever told me to memorize. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. Amen. And so we may have a thought. I'm sure some of the men said, why, we can build up some bulwarks around the city, and we can sling some big old stones over in there and destroy it. We can touch down and make us some ram poles and get about 10 of these big old football players and get up those ram big trees and we'll just knock the gates open. Somebody said, well, what about we know we can get some flaming arrows and we'll just shoot some fiery arrows over in there and we'll smoke them out and burn them out like getting a groundhog out of a hole. Amen. All of that may have been good, but I'm telling you that wasn't what God wanted them to do. Are you listening to me? They got divine, minute, detailed directions for Jericho, and if you'll study your Bible, they didn't pray you at one time to go up to Ai. We can just do it ourselves. We don't need to pray. And they didn't get any counsel from God. If they made that mistake, and they did, we make mistakes like that, I'm telling you. We'll reason things out. And Dr. Doodle Digger will tell you how you're supposed to do it. And you young preachers, if there's any young preachers here, listen to me. Get you a briar patch somewhere. Get you a thicket out back yonder in the woods somewhere. And get neighbor on your face before God and cry out to God and get some counsel from God. Don't make some silly, stupid mistakes. And I pastored 36 years and some of the men that I thought had the most potential, I'm telling you, would pull some of the dumbest boners that I've ever seen in my life and try to say that God told him to do it, and I didn't believe a word of it, and it wasn't true because it's contrary to the Bible. God's counsel, never your whatever kind of feelings you get or what you think about it or what you suppose, if it's contrary to that book, you mark it off. That's a devil lying to you or your human reason, and you're about to get in a stinking mess. Are you listening to me? There are conflicts, and they had a whole lot of them, and you need, the hour we're living in, we had better find out what God means and what God wants us to do in these perilous times in which we're living. We got a manual right here. We've got a book. And never somebody said, I wish I'm getting my God a third great-grandbaby come on the way, supposed to have been born today, and I'm over here preaching around Tennessee. Amen. But nevertheless, I started to call her today, and I said I was going to tell her, wait, and Grandpa, great-grandpa, or help you pay the bill. Now, I don't know if she can wait or not. But I was going to give her some counsel, and it'd probably been contrary to this book. Get your counsel from the Lord. Men can tell you everything, and there are some intelligent men, and there are some good men. And I don't know if our brother sold any commentaries or not after Brother Jones has preached. Poor old Charles Spurgeon and Butler and all around. I guess I took a shot at Butler, amen. But I don't know if you got any commentaries or going to sell any or not. But listen to me. We got a counselor, a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Get alone and talk to it. And he said, I will direct thy path. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You'll hear a still small voice behind you say, this is the way, walk you in it. God told me I was going to Taylor, South Carolina before I ever went there. And he told my wife we were going. Amen. And we've been praying and fasting and begging God for this and that and God to lead us. And he did. And when all the things turned upside down, and I called my pastor, pastor. My pastor said, Brother Larry, God has probably got you in boot camp, and He will probably give you a little experience there, and He'll probably move you. But he told me this, preacher, I think it's out of the will of God. I think it was in the Word of God. He said, don't you leave there until the call to leave was as clear as it was to go. And I waited 36 years before I heard it. But the Lord spoke to me, and I've told you that before, and I'm trying to hurry. The conflicts of our life, we heard about Job 14:1, Job 5:7, born unto troubles, the sparks fly upward. Man's born unto trouble, and well, trouble all the day, many troubles and trouble. See, John 16:33, in the world you're going to have tribulation. But when you have conflicts in your life, my reactions have not always been what they should have been. Sometimes we act pretty good, but we don't react too good. Amen. God help us. But listen to me. When these conflicts come in our life, and we're going against the grain of this world, you know that. We're going to, just like my truck out of control the other day, I'm going sideways on a 65 mile an hour interstate, and everybody's going this way, going north, and I'm going east. Are you listening to me? You're going to get in trouble short of the world. Get your counsel from the Lord. When the conflicts come, how should I handle it? I thought about this today, trying to get my thoughts together. Are there any more mulberry trees around, or has the plight got them all? Have they been blighted? Have they been cut down? Have they been done away with? What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about David, the greatest military genius, I guess, in the Bible. He got his instructions from the Lord, and the Lord would say, go up or don't go up. He said, David, don't you go until you hear the sound of the going in the mulberry tree, and then you do and respond what I have told you to do. And David waited for the wind or the going in the tops of the mulberry tree, and God gave him victory. Are you listening to me? You don't have to wander around in this world of sinful wickedness and ungodliness, knowing not what to do and how to handle your conflict. Just wait upon the Lord. He'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagle, and that other crowd will flop like turkeys. Are you listening to me? We're all going to have conflicts, and I can give you a list as long as my arm if I had time tonight. But get your counsel from the Lord. When a conflict arises in the church, have you ever seen a day like we're living? I haven't. The conflicts that are in the house of God today, and you wonder who's on whose side, and I'll be honest with you, the way pastors are being treated, and I'm in every week or so, I'm in with a different pastor, but I'm telling you, it rubs my feathers the wrong way, gets my dander stirred up, the way God's men are being treated today. And I know there's some knuckleheads trying to pastor churches. There's men that have never been called of God, and this world's full of hirelings that flee when the wolf cometh. But I'm telling you, God has still got some men, and God still got some preacher, and we had better get where we can hear the truth of the Word of God and get us some counsel from the book and from the Lord that gave this book in your conflict. Don't get out here, and the preacher said a while ago, don't be a brawler. I've had two or three want me to fist fight with them. And that's hard for a redneck West Virginia hillbilly to take. And I ain't Superman. And I ain't bad. And I ain't cocky. But I will run over you with my Kawasaki if you get in my way. That's my wife. I wasn't saved when we was courting. You looked at her the wrong way, you wouldn't see anything for two or three days. I've kicked them in the rear end. I've slapped them upside the head.
And I've been slept a time or two myself. Amen. But I'm just telling you, we got a Bible, preacher. We got a God that's all-knowing and all-wise and knows the end from the beginning, the author and the finisher. He's the founder and the finisher of our faith. We ought to learn to listen to Him. Joshua did not pray, and he listened to the counsel of the men. Now, I'm not preaching on the church tonight. I don't have time. But I'm telling you, a church is not operated the way that Walmart is operated. I'm just waiting for one pastor to call me, and I believe that's what God wants me to preach. That may be my last time there, but that'll be fine with me. I'm telling you, you get a businessman in the church that thinks he knows everything and thinks he's given about 2/3 of the money and thinks it belongs to him. A church is not operated like a business out in this world. We operate by faith. Amen. God help you to learn that lesson. All right, listen to me. They didn't pray about AI. They did Jericho. Walking out, burning the midnight oil, thank God for a man of God that's up praying, seeking the will of God for the church, and praying for you and weeping over you. You ought to thank God for him, give him a raise, hallelujah, and be good to him, amen. We don't need anybody out here giving us a bunch of, well, you know, the Bible's full of it. You can get you some horns that won't hook, and they say, oh, you're going to win this battle. And he said, yeah. Well, if you come back out of this battle alive, you'll know who was telling you the truth. Well, he didn't. Amen. In the Bible, you're familiar with the stories in the Bible. Get your counsel from the Lord. Don't be like a leaf blown in the wind or a piece of driftwood upon the sea. God will lead and guide and direct every child that will allow him to do that. Stay with me just a minute. I got that in verse number 34. If you look back in 106 Psalm and verse number 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. My second thought is this tonight, not only concerning your conflict, you need some counsel, but you also need some counsel concerning your companions. Look at verse 35. They were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. My text verse said they didn't wait for his counsel. They're going to mingle with who they want to mingle with. They're going to choose their own friends. When the Bible said if a man's a friend of the world, he's the enemy of God. And some of you young people are as loose as a goose. And you are mingling around with a bunch of heathens, what he called them in the Scripture. And you're rubbing shoulders with them. We're in the world. We're not of the world. But you're out there and you're adapting their ways. You want to dress like them. You want to talk like them. You want to act like them. And God's allowed you to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. He wanted the nation of Israel to be separate from the heathen. Don't give your sons and daughters to them. And somebody talking about the fruit. I like that. He said don't eat of that fruit, Adam or Eve or whatever. Said don't touch it. And I said, thought this, and I wrote in my Bible, if you can't get close enough to touch it, you're not going to have to worry about eating it, amen. If you can't pick an apple off the tree, I doubt you're going to ever eat one of them. And so I think probably Adam told Eve, honey, God said not to eat of that fruit. So just stay arm's length away from it. Don't mess with that fruit. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to eat of that fruit against the obedience and the counsel that God has given us. And us, some of us here tonight, we're rubbing shoulders out here in the world. And it's rubbed off on us. Are you listening to me?
It does that in the young people. It does that to some of men and women that are in the church. We get there and we're ashamed to be different. I'm telling you, I thank God for a blood-washed, God-called preacher that's not ashamed of his calling and not ashamed that he's got a Bible and not ashamed of doing right and paying his just and honest debts and being faithful unto his wife and raising his family for God. Thank God for every one of them that's on the face of this earth. We need not bow our knee to Baal and compromise never our conviction and lower our standard because somebody's going to think different of us or mock us or make fun of us. They hated our Lord and they'll hate you. John 15. He has despised and rejected a man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and they're not going to pin laurels on you and vote you the most likely to succeed when you obey the counsel God's given us in His Word. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. Brother Jones quoted that again, and I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters. Amen. God wants to be a father to us. They were already saved. God said, I'll be a father to you. They're saved by the grace of God. But He said, come out from the world so I can treat you like a child. So I can treat you like I'm your daddy. So I can treat you like you're my son or like you're my daughter. I'm telling you, be sure your sin will find you out and your sins have withheld good things from you. Get your counsel from this book concerning your companions. That don't seem like that ought to be too hard to me. Most places I go to a preacher's fellowship, I'm like a square peg in a round hole. They act like I'm fell down from Jupiter going to worship some the goddess Diana or somebody, wherever she fell down from. Choose your companions according to this book. He did say, be not unequally yoked together. You say, preach, I think I married the wrong woman. Well, you're married to the right one now, or you're just going to have to live with the one you got. That's all I can tell you. Now, I've heard some preachers change their mind lately on that scripture. I don't think God joined us together. I think it was just lust. Well, when you said I do, until death do us part. And I ain't changing my mind for no kind of preacher. Amen. She's my millennial wife. Yeah. You probably ain't going to be in the millennium. Amen. Well, one Jay Bird said that. That second one was his millennial wife. He's going to reign with her during the millennial reign. God told him in chapter 106, verse 35, about mingling with the heathen and learning their works. Well, that would be bad enough. But you young people got your Bible? Look at verse 36. They mingled with them. They learned their works. They served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Now, I'm a country boy, and I hear preachers preach about being from the country, and they've never been to a county fair outside the city limits. But I was raised up where the coons had to get oxygen to get up out of the hills up in West Virginia where Brother Jones was. I was raised about, as a crow flies, probably 35, 40 miles from him. Driving a car take you an hour and a half, 2 hours to get over there. But you young people start mingling with the world. You start seeing their works and the lust of the eye, the flesh, the pride of life never satisfy. God said, you'll never satisfy, are you? Listen, you marry the most likely to succeed. You marry Mr. Football from Tennessee or whoever he might be. You marry the prettiest cheerleader that's ever jumped up and had her skirt fly up over her head. And you marry something like that, and you're going to find out that your lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life will never be satisfied. Somebody said, you want me to marry an ugly girl? No, I'm not telling you to marry an ugly girl.
But I'm telling you, beauty's only skin deep. Somebody said ugly goes to the bone. Keep your companions right. You look at victorious Christians in the Bible, who their companions were. You become like who you hang around. That's the reason I like to get around these preachers. It'll rub off on you. And that's the kind I like. And I'll quit in just a minute. Did you know the Bible said, and I looked it up today, evil communications corrupt good manners. And somebody said, it's not in the Bible, a man's known by the company that he keeps. And I put a lot of people in jail, and I was on the police force about 6 years because they were in the wrong company. And there used to be an old song, "Don't send my boy to prison. Don't send him there all alone." He didn't steal that chicken. That chicken just followed him home. He was running around with a bunch of chicken thieves and got caught and ended up in jail. You're going to get it, it'll rub off on you. You learn their works. Get it snared. I've got nephews in Hills, West Virginia, lost a ball in high weeds, and I try to preach once in a while up there. But I know most of you, I guess, know what a snare is. But I'm telling you, the bait will be in there, and that little sapling's bent over, and it's got that a wire or whatever you can buy now. We used to have to make ours. But I'm telling you, that thing is taut, and it's got a little peg drove in the ground, got a little piece of bait of some kind in there, and that rabbit or raccoon or groundhog, or my nephews have caught deer. They stick their nose in there and touch that bait, and that trigger pops up, and that wire tweezes together like that, and I've got a nephew catches deer like that. And the devil will set you boys a trap. He'll set you a snare. I mean, it's spring loaded. I had a painter over helping me do some work at my house. And I, at the junkyard, flea market or something, I bought a spring. Time flies when you're having fun. I got a, it looked like a screen door spring, Brother Bud, you know, about that long, about as big as your finger. And that thing, I mean, I got that thing was stiff as a poker. I mean, you couldn't hardly move it. So I forced it and put it on the screen door. I mean, you can push that door open, and you get around, and you let it go, kawow! So I've got this Brazilian. He's helped me paint. And he tried to get that door. He don't be. So he got that spring. He got it loose, stretched it out, took one end off of it, and that thing come through. It caught his thumb right there, that crooked part that hooks on the hook on the door, and it just ripped his finger about clear to the bone down through there. He said, "That's some spring you got on that screen there." I said, "That's one of my traps. When somebody comes in the house, it'll catch him. You did catch him, break your arm, I guess, for catching the note." The devil, he's a mastermind. I use the word master loosely. I hate him, don't you? Amen. But he's ensnaring our young people. He's ensnaring men of God. He's ensnaring families. He's ensnaring churches. He's not anybody around here wanting this thing to, preacher, if you just ease up and let up on your standards and shorten your services and quit wasting so much money, this thing could just start blossoming and growing. Yeah, it would. Absalom knew how to build a crowd, but he couldn't build a church. Are you listening to me? You can build a crowd, and that's what this crowd's got. That's what's down here on the highway I got. I guess we got one in Greenville. It's got 37,000 members. That's where all the politicians go when they come through South Carolina. They go there. And I'm quitting. I'll quit in just a minute. They all go there. Here's the pastor. How long has it been? A year, Miss Rain? Maybe? A year ago. He got caught. He was addicted to drugs. He was an alcoholic. And it was immoral, committing adultery with the women of the church. And they put him in a asylum or something and dried him out and tried to help him. And is in the paper here a few days ago. He's out and back over at that thing called the Resurrection Church or whatever they call it in Greenville, South Carolina. And that Bible said, if a man commits adultery with a woman, his reproach will never be taken away. God will forgive him, but he's disqualified himself. I mean, they just flock in there by the thousands. Choose your companions. Are you listening to me? Get some counsel from God. I'm through. I don't have time to preach this. It's another message within itself. Look at verse number 41, Psalms 106. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, that they and they that hated them ruled over them. Who is supposed to be ruling Canaan? As God's called Israel, delivered them out of Egypt, told them to go in, conquer, and possess the land, right? They're being ruled over by the heathen. They didn't get counsel concerning their conflicts and they got defeated. They didn't get counsel concerning their companions. I swear I can take you to the Gibeonites. They come riding up to Joshua and said, we heard about what happened at the Red Sea. And we heard about what happened to the Amorites. And we heard about how your mighty God has given you all these victories. And Joshua said, who are you folks? Said, oh, we're from a far off country. We're from way out yonder. And so Joshua talked to the men. You read it. I read it today. He talked to the men. They had a council. Didn't get counsel from the Lord. The Lord said, make no league with the inhabitants of Canaan. And I looked that word league up, L-E-A-G-E, or I think U-E, and I wrote in my Bible, it must have been the National Football League. I wrote that in my Bible. That's part of it's not inspired. Now, I got a little bit of Donald Trump in me. I don't cuss like he did. But I'm telling you this, buddy. They some folks ought to be put on a slow boat to China. And knock a big hole in it when you push it off out of the harbor. Somebody said, if Donald Trump's elected, we're going to leave the United States and go to Canada. You remember that? And my granddaughter, I like her. You can see her on this playing the piano and all that. She said, fill the plane up, and if there's not any more seats, leave room in the aisle for Mr. Kaepernick to bow in the aisle so he can go to Canada. Yeah! I'd pay his fare if he'd get on a boat. God told him to conquer Canaan. Now listen, I'm not going to preach. I'm just giving him a point. He told him to conquer Canaan. They didn't get to counsel. They didn't do what they were told to do. Didn't get to counsel concerning their companion. Here come these Gibeonites. And they've got empty wine bottles. You boys listening? They got old moldy bread. And it was they made all that up before they left because they hadn't come very far. But they got some old moldy bread, old wine skins, and they clouded their feet. I looked that up. It means patch, put patchwork, sew things together, and said, we've traveled so far, our shoes are wore out, our bread's molded, and our wine skins are empty. And I wrote in my Bible, you young people, don't make friends that's running around with patched apparel and moldy bread and empty wine bottles. Stay away from them. They're going to ensnare you. You're going to learn their ways. You know weeds outgrow corn any time, any 7 days a week. Weeds will overgrow your garden if you don't do something about it. Are you listening? They didn't go on and follow the counsel to conquer Canaan. Here's what I was going to preach. God's commanded every one of us to get saved, live for the Lord, grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, desiring the sincere milk of the Word that we might grow thereby, and get full of the Holy Ghost and live a victorious Christian life. But we won't listen to His counsel. You're not going to grow and conquer your flesh. Let me give you one thing. In Romans chapter 8, the Holy Ghost chapter, I love that chapter. He said, I believe it's verse 13, somewhere down through that chapter, He said, mortify the deeds of the body. How you by the Spirit, what that verse says. By the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body. And Paul said in Romans chapter number 7, he couldn't do the things that he would. Your flesh will cry out, your flesh will want to do things, and you can't listen to it. You can't listen to your flesh when it says it wants to do what everybody else is doing, what the world is doing. You can't listen to it. You've got to put the deeds to death. Don't do those deeds. Then he wrote to the Galatians in chapter number 5, and he said, crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. Now, some of us have gotten by the deeds, and I'm asking God to help me with a desire. That's the affections and lusts thereof. I don't even like for that trash to go through my mind the way it's already been preached this week. I think the thought of foolishness is sin. And I think we all have foolish thoughts. I do. You pray for me. I want to be spiritually minded. My flesh starts crying out for the past, or the old things, or the things that never satisfy. I try, by the grace of God, immediately to put that out of my mind and let my mind be clean through the washing of the water of the Word. So they made three major mistakes. I think everything else hinges on those three. Their conflicts, their companions, and not conquering Canaan the way God commanded them to do that. And if we'll take the advice that God gave us in the Word, we'll win every battle. He did say in chapter 15, I think, that God's a man of war, and you can't whoop Him, the black preacher said. So He's a man of war. Let Him fight your battles for you. We don't have to get out here and act like heathens. And I'm not mean, but I do have a witness with me tonight. And you ever get any road rage? And you wouldn't believe it, but I've been out on side of the interstate with an 18-wheeler driver telling him to get off of my bumper. My wife said, now Larry. You know what the Lord told me? He said, you can't be a brawler. And I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I never went that man to God unless the Holy Ghost did something far beyond what I was going to do to him and tell him. So I'm getting right with God. Amen. That's been a long time ago. I ain't as young as I used to be, and I don't want to get jerked around, have to get me a steak put on my eye. I'd rather eat him now. Amen. God wants every one of us to be a victorious, more than conqueror Christian. And the only way we're ever going to do that is get the counsel from this book.
Amen.
Keep the right friends. Go on, do what God's told you to do. Let Him fight your battles for you. We're liable to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, impress me at the motel this evening. I pray and ask God to help me. Some of you young people, why don't you get in this altar tonight and say, Lord, give me enough grace where I can be a witness to my friends. Strengthen me and help me to where I can make the right decisions. Guide me. in the way everlasting, a lot of scripture in the Bible. And the Lord will help you. He wants you to be a victorious Christian, young or old. In church, He wants His church to stay different. We don't have to change. We don't have to compromise. And I know the dispensation we're living in, and I know we're in the closing moments. I think of the church dispensation. I believe Jesus is coming. And I think we're trying to rebuild the walls and out of the burned out things and crashes of yesteryear. I believe that's where we are. Homes are in a mess. We know that. We got families or homes are in a mess. We can still have a good church. We can still have the power of God on it. None of us are perfect, though we can still get some counsel from God. If you need a little guidance, won't you come and ask Him to help you tonight? Thank you. Sister King, if you'd come to the piano. Brother Allen, I'd like for you to get a song. If you would, you stand to your feet tonight. God spoke to your heart tonight. I want to give you a chance. Young folk, God spoke to you. Why don't you be obedient? While Brother Allen gets a song. Mm-hmm.